Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening. I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries, and this is I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast. Tonight, I want to speak to you to give you some inspirational nuggets to take you through the rest of this week. And tonight's podcast is going to be entitled Deliverance is Here. Again, it's going to be entitled Your Deliverance is Here. When we think about deliverance, we think about being freed from something. When we think about deliverance, we think about being rescued or set free. And so we have to be mindful that in this faith journey that we are on, there are times that we are spiritually in bondage. We have spiritual bondage. And scripture tells us that as a man thinketh, so is he. And so a lot of times, even though we might not be physically bound, we are spiritually bound because our mindset, we have allowed negativity, we have allowed certain things to cripple our faith, to dampen our joy, to evoke fear and anxiousness. And so tonight I want to give you some nuggets to help you to move forward. So that you will no longer be spiritually bound, but you'll be spiritually encouraged or enriched or spiritually nourished by the word of the Most High God. And so I'm going to be just talking and with different scriptures and just talking about different aspects of how you can be spiritually bound. And so one of the ways, well, there are several ways. Let me not say one of the ways, but I want to read a scripture. I actually want to read two. And then I want to talk through those scriptures and talk about being spiritually in spiritual bondage. Okay. So the first scripture that I wanted to read is going to be from Psalms 40, 1 through 3. Again, it's going to be from Psalms 40. Excuse me. 1 through 3. And it reads, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in God. Now I'm going to go ahead and read verse 4 because it says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. In other words, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. And respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And so there was Psalms 1 and 4. Psalms 40, 1 and 4. the reason why I wanted to read Psalms 41 and 4, because verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And so I want you to put, if you have some notes, something to take notes, I want you to write down, waited patiently. Okay. And then also write down, and he heard my cry. Okay. And so then we're going to go now to, I want to read Luke 4 and 18. And the same scripture is also, Luke 4 and 18 is also, that scripture is also the in Isaiah 61 and 1. And so I'm reading Luke because this is where Jesus started quoting Isaiah 61 before he proclaimed the acceptable year. And so I'm going to read Luke 4 and 18. And it reads, so I'm Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, and to set liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so in that scripture, it clearly tells us that he sent to set the people free, to deliver them, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the people that are captive, to give sight to the people that are blind. Because you can be spiritually blind, and spiritual blindness deals with living in sin. Actively practicing sin. And so you ever seen someone that you're trying to figure out, maybe it's a loved one, it could be maybe a friend, but they are living in a sinful nature. And let me just say this, scripture tells us, Romans 3 and 23, that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that is true. We all miss the mark. No one is perfect. And so we're not talking about that, because what I'm talking about as far as living in sin, active living in sin, is unwillingness to change, unwillingness to repent and to turn from your sinful nature. And so that's what I'm talking about. We're all going to fall short daily. We have sins that we do knowingly, and then there are some sins that we commit unknowingly. And so every day we have to ask God to forgive us for our sins, and to help us to remain faithful to him and to live a righteous life. So our daily walk is just that. It's a daily journey. Every day we have to deny ourselves and die to our flesh. It's not a one-stop shop. You do it one time and that's it. Every day we have to make good decisions. We have to choose life and not death. And what I mean by that, based on the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, we have to make sure that they are aligned in Christ, because scripture tells us that when we follow God, when we do it his way, there's life. When we do it the world's way, then there's death. And so we have to be mindful. Scripture tells us that the wages of sin, in Romans, it says the wages of sin is death. And so we have to not only physical death, but a spiritual death, which means that we disconnect ourselves from the true vine, from the power, the ultimate power, which is Jesus Christ. And so we don't want to disconnect ourselves from the true vine, from the from the one and only Savior, the one that gave his life so that we might have life. And we want to stay connected to that power source so that we can, when we're going through things, we can too be victorious because he's conquered all things. There's nothing that he can't overcome, that he can't, that he will be defeated in. He will never be defeated. He will always be victorious. And so when we talk about the sinful nature, you might know someone that has, that is living in a sinful nature, and you're trying to figure out, well, why don't they see clearly? Well, what happens is sin blinds you. When you're living in a sinful nature, when you're living out of your sinful lust, desires, you're blinded by your sin. It's hard for you to see the truth. And so as long as you are in that environment where sin is accepted, sin is welcome, sin is embraced, then it's going to be hard for that person or to see the error of their way. And so what happens is, in order for them to see that the error of their way, they have to be brought into the marvelous light. They have to be exposed to the word of God, because the word of God is truth. And it tells you in scripture, says that the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. In other words, it is the truth. It will cut out the things. It'll expose the things that are not of God, and it'll allow you to see the error of your way. And so that's what happens. So we have a lot of people that are spiritually blind, and they're in spiritual bondage. And because of the spiritual bondage, because of the because they're spiritually blind, they may act a certain way because they don't know the truth in the pardon of their sin. So they act worldly. That's the result. And so we have to, as the body of Christ, we have to continue to lift up ourselves, and we have to lift up each other. And when we see one of God's children fall short, when they're down and out, when they are swallowed up knee deep in sin or their sinful nature, we have to pray for them, pray for their deliverance, because at one point we had to be delivered as well. We were not always on the journey to, and we were not always on this journey where Christ was the head of our life. And so we have to show compassion and understand that there could be any one of us. Any one of us could fall short, make a mistake, make a bad choice. None of us are exempt. And so we have to lift them up, continue to pray for them, pray that, you know, God send laborers in their path so that it can illuminate their understanding, to remove the scales of darkness from their eyes, so that they will no longer be spiritually blind, but they will be spiritually enlightened. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about that tonight, because we have so many people in the world that are in need of deliverance. And so when you think about deliverance, we have to wait patiently. Sometimes God will deliver you out of something. So, you know, and there's so many different instances or accounts in the Bible where God delivered so many people. He delivered Moses and the children of Israel from Pharaoh. You know, he delivered Joseph and his situation from the pit, prison, to the palace. And so there's so many different accounts. But then if he doesn't deliver you from it, sometimes he delivers you while you're still in it. And so I think about the three Hebrew boys, because even though they were eventually let out of the prison cell, or they was let out of the fiery furnace, he sent the angel, So when they looked in there, when the guard looked in, they saw four people. He sent an angel to cover them while they were in the fiery furnace. So sometimes he'll deliver you from it. Sometimes he'll deliver you while you're in it. But his deliverance is not our, it's not on our time. It's not our way. Scripture tells us that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And so he does things differently than we could even fathom. And so we just have to trust him. So the waiting patiently, Psalms 40 that I read, is important because he doesn't always come when you want him to come, but he's always on time. And let me just give you a quick example of that. this past Sunday, we were on our way to church, and I had overslept, but I still got up a little bit later than normal, but I got up and we left the house at a decent time to get to church. And so my husband got behind a vehicle and they were driving really slow. Well, it was an older couple. So, you know, I can understand them not driving as fast they were not driving the speed limit. They were driving on the speed limit. And so I was looking at the clock and I was like, oh, we're going to be late. And I don't like to be late arriving anywhere, especially not to church. I feel like if I can get up and get to work on time, then I can get up and serve the Lord on time. And so I was worried because I was like, oh, I overslept. I was really tired and it was not my intention. I had set my alarm, didn't hear it. But let me tell you what happened. I'm looking at the clock and I was like, okay, yeah, church is going to start before we get there. And I was like, okay, well, so in my mind, I said, we're almost there. And the thing is that we are, regardless if we are a few minutes late, we'll be at church. Well, don't you know that even though the time was creeping up, we had like 5 minutes left before service would start. And we hadn't even made it to the destination. When I stopped focusing on the time and I was start listening to, I can't remember the gospel song that was on, but I was listening to the gospel song. So I took my mind off the time and worried about being late and start listening to the lyrics of the song. And like I said, I can't remember the song, but we got to the church on time. We walked in on time. It's almost as if God held the time. So when we got out there, we only had 5 minutes left. Remember me telling you that? 5 minutes left, and we hadn't even made it. We, based on where we were, we had probably 9 minutes to arrive, even though it was only 5 minutes before church started. We were about 9 minutes out. We got there with 2 minutes before time for church to start. We was in our seat. Now, let me tell you this. I said all that to say this. God is time. He can hold time. He can make time. Whenever he arrives, he's going to be on time. Even though we might feel like it's late to us, whenever he show up, he's right on time. And so I just want you to know that whatever you're facing today, if you've been praying and it just seems like he's not answering, he's working behind the scenes. He probably is answering, but maybe it's not being answered the way that you have envisioned it. So you have to ask God, you know, what is it that you need to learn in this season and how, and to help you to grow through the process, because he's always speaking to us, even though we might not be listening. He's always given us encouragement, sending words of encouragement, either through other people, through messages. This is what God does, and he's always on time, even when it feels like we are running out of time. Because remember, his time is not our time either. You know, God can do more in one day than we could do in our lifetime. And so we this is where we have to wait patiently and trust him. And so I just wanted to just throw that in there. But somebody is dealing with so many different things. Somebody is frustrated tonight. Somebody is sad, and somebody is dealing with depression. You got somebody that is confused, and maybe they're upset. Somebody's dealing with malice, and somebody's dealing with anxiety. Somebody's dealing with revenge, and somebody is dealing with fear, bitterness, disappointment, malice. You got so many different things, anger, all these different things. Somebody's dealing with trauma, past hurts. You're dealing with trauma bonds, soul ties. You're dealing with resentment. It's so many different things. And all these different emotions, they're real. And so, you know, when you think about the different emotions like anger, scripture tells us that we can be angry but sin not. We're going to be upset sometimes, but we have to understand that we can't allow our emotions to dictate our actions. Our emotions are just that. They're going to, whatever we feel is because it's whatever we have just experienced or witnessed at that point of time. But that does not mean that our emotions are going to stay the same. So if we based our actions on our emotions, then we will be acting prematurely. Because you might be sad right now, and then tomorrow you could be happy. And so, you know, it's always good to don't react when you're upset. Don't make decisions when you're upset. It's always best to be calm and level-headed when you make decisions concerning your life. If you find yourself in that situation where you're upset, you need to take time to calm down. And the best way to do it is to read the Word of God. What does he say about your situation? Get you some gospel music and listen to that. Because let me tell you, God is so powerful that those emotions, when they turn into, if we don't manage them properly, they turn into destruction. And so that's what the enemy does. John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the enemy's job is to kill, to steal, and destroy you. And when those emotions in your mind, and that's why we're talking about spiritual bondage, mental bondage, spiritual blindness. We're talking about that because you're what you think is what you're going to produce. If you think negatively, then your actions will be negatively. If you think positively, then your actions will be positively. And so we have to renew our mind. We have to get into the mind of the practice of renewing our mind. We have to cast down all those negative thoughts. And so we have to think about that, because if not, we'll destroy our own self. Case in point, we are our own worst enemy. By the thoughts we think, the choices we make, we're our own worst enemy. And so we have to be mindful of that. We have to manage our emotions. Some people say, well, you know, they push my buttons. Nobody can push your buttons unless you allow them. And so we have to get spiritually tough. And how do you do that? Your toughness, your spiritual toughness comes from God, the Word of God, standing on his word. The word is your weapon. It increases your faith. Everything that he, even when we go through it, and because, you know, people say, oh, you know, I believe in God and I'm going through this. Scripture tells us that he reigns on the just as well as the unjust. Also tells us that all of us are going to go through something. That's life. But he promised that when we go through our trials and tribulations, that he'll be right there with us. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he'll be with us even until the end of time. And so we have to understand that the fiery trials that we go through is not to break us, is not to make us bitter, is to make us better. And it's to make us depending on him, because we can't do anything without him. And so this is the same thing. If we want deliverance, we can't deliver ourselves. We can't help ourselves. God has to help us. We can't do it by ourselves. He's just waiting for us to invite him into our life, to make him the head of our life so he can lead, guide, and direct us. That's all he wants. He's not going to force himself in our life. We have free will, but he's waiting with open arms for us to give it to him. He already know how it's going to work out. He already knew what was going to happen before it happened. The situation that you're in right now, he knew that was going to happen before it happened. You just didn't know it was going to happen, but he already knows the outcome. He already knows how to provide a way of escape. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians, I believe 10 and 13 says, there's no temptation uncommon to man that God has not provided a way of escape. He already know the way. He has already made the way. But we just got to trust him so that he can navigate, help us navigate through the mess that most of the time we created by the choices we made. So when you think about spiritual bondage, you know, spiritual bondage is when a person is held captive by their sinful nature, or maybe their worldly influences, or even the demonic attachments that hinder their personal relationship with God. And there's a lot of people walking around in spiritual bondage. They're smiling on the outside, but they are dying on the inside. They're unhappy. And you wonder why you see so many people, they look happy, but their actions tell something different. And, you know, we know hear the saying, you know, misery loves company. Well, they're not happy. They don't have the joy of the Lord. You know, they don't have the peace which surpasses all understanding. Scripture says that he said, I'll give you peace, not as the world give you. Because, see, the world can't give you peace. But when God gives you peace, you can be in the midst of a trial and you can still be smiling. And people are looking at you trying to figure out what's wrong with them. They got all this stuff happening in their life, but they still smiling. They still treating people right. They still showing up. They act like nothing is going on. That's the peace of God. And he can give it to you. And that peace only comes from trusting him and knowing that he's got it. You don't have to lift a finger. You don't have to mistreat anyone. You don't have to backstab anyone. You don't have to sabotage anyone. You don't have to get revenge on anyone. You don't have to belittle anyone, put anyone down. You don't have to do none of that. Because God's got your back. Sometimes, you know, people like dysfunction because they have been in dysfunction and that's all they know. So you have to be careful about your connections, your relationships, your friendships. See, the thing is, some of us have the heart of compassion and we want to help people by nature. But God does not assign us. He didn't assign us to everybody. We can't help everybody. And so some of these people that we are attaching ourselves to, God never intended for them. They're not our assignment. So we have to be mindful. And I know you're saying, like, what do you mean by assignment? Well, you know, God has given every last one of us a purpose. We are his workmanship. There's a scripture that talks about that. We are his workmanship. Let me get to that scripture and I'm going to read it for you. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are his workmanship. You know what workmanship means? We are his masterpiece. We are his creation. And we are created for his purpose. We are his workmanship. So every last one of us have a purpose. Every last one of us have an assignment, whether we walk in it or not. God has given every last one of us an assignment. We are his children. All of us are his children. And we are created with a purpose in mind. We're not created for ourselves, but we are his workmanship. And so we all have a purpose. And everybody is not assigned to your purpose or assigned to you. But sometimes we take on assignments that God has never intended for us to take on. And through doing that, not being aligned, we pick up some of this dysfunction, because we find ourselves trying to help someone or help a situation, or a situation has come up and you're trying to help in that situation that you were never intended to be in the first place. And it pulls you out of the will of God. And so we have to be mindful, because deliverance is here. Your deliverance is here, but you also got to hear his voice. Because a lot of times when he delivers us from one thing, we go right into another thing that's just like the same thing that he delivered us from previously. But because we didn't discern, because we didn't stay in the word, because the word is not our weapon, because we're not supping with him, we're not spending time with him, we couldn't see the similarities. You know, you got to understand, they say, when you elevate, when God elevates you, different devils for different levels. It's the same attacks, just different devils. They doing the same thing every time. John 10 and 10 tell us, kill, steal, and destroy. Their assignment, the enemy's assignment doesn't change. They just got different people that are operating in that demonic spirit on assignment. So you could basically be dealing with the same type of demonic attachment, but it'd be a whole different person. That's why we have to hate the sin and not the sinner. It's a lot of us have been, when we operate in these negative spaces, we are allowing the enemy to use us. That's why we have to renew our mind daily. I'm going to give you some scriptures for renewing your mind, for deliverance of spiritual bondage, to get your mind right, because that's all it is. It's basically, we need to know how to renew our mind, because remember, as a man thinketh, so is he. Let me get to these scriptures so I can give them to you. So, we have to be mindful that we renew our mind. So you got Romans 12 and 2, 12, 1 and 2. I know many of you know that scripture. Tells you, it says to be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I beseech you, brethren, that you present yourself as a holy living sacrifice. Says, listen, you got to renew your mind. You know, you gotta, your mind is playing tricks on you. So you know what he's saying? You gotta think on things of a good report. You know. And so Philippians 4:8 talks about that. It says, you know, think of things that are true, honorable, that are pure. Philippians 4:8. Think on things that are pure. Right? You think about 2 Corinthians 10:5. And it just talks about overcoming negative thoughts. Overcoming negative thoughts. Because guess what? Those negative thoughts, it keeps us in captivity. It says, let me just start with, I'm going to just start with 2 Corinthians 10, and I'm going to read 1 through 1. As I initially said, 2 Corinthians 10:5, and then I'll tell you what I've read and I finish. So it says, now Paul myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent and bound and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walk accordingly to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. So I'm going to stop there. I read to 2 Corinthians 10:8. But it says that even though we walk in the flesh, we don't war with the flesh, right? And so this is the thing. We don't war with the flesh. Let me read Ephesians for you. In Ephesians 6. I'm going to start with 10. And I'm going to read through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's why we can't be in spiritual bondage. That's why we can't be spiritually blind, because we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. In other words, that's why I said you hate the sin and not the sinner, because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual battle. We can't physically fight our way through this. In order for us to be victorious, in order for us, as Romans 8:37 says, to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, we have to put on our spiritual muscles. In other words, we have to walk the walk and talk the talk. We have to be able to allow the word to be our weapon. We have to stand bold on God's promises so that our faith can be increased through the trials and tribulations that we go through that are not meant to break you, but is meant to elevate you. Everything that we go through. And Romans 8 and 28 tells us that he says, all things, it doesn't matter what it is, good or bad, whether you made a mistake or not, you made a wrong choice or not, all of that, he takes all of that, God takes it all and works it out for your good, for those that love him and have been called according to his purpose. And remember, I just told you, we're his workmanship. He made us, we're his masterpiece, we're his creation. He made us for a purpose. And so we have to be mindful that we don't allow the wiles of the devil or the wiles of the enemy. We don't allow destructive thinking. We don't allow negativity to dampen our spirits, and we don't allow it to take over our mindset, that we renew our mind, that we cast down those things that are not of God. And so, you know, Isaiah 26 and 3 says that he'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. In other words, all the stuff is happening around you. And so it might be happening around you and it might be happening to you. Just as long as you don't allow what's happening around you and to you to get on the inside of you. That's why you have to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of you. That way, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, he can raise the scripture says he'll raise up your standard. And it says if you resist the devil, James 4 and 7 says, if you resist the devil, he'll flee. How do you resist him? The word of God. You got to learn how to speak the word over your life. No matter what it says, to call those things into existence, speak those things into existence. In other words, to call them out, even though they don't look that way, call them the way you want them to be. That's faith. Because faith is not seeing it and then believing it. Faith is believing it before you see it. Faith is believing it before you receive it. That's knowing that God can do anything but fail, even if he decides not to do it. That's what faith is. That's what speaking it into existence. That's what standing bold on the word of God. That's how you change your situation. When you change your mindset, you change your situation. You feel better. When you sit there and wallow in self-pity, when you continue to play the negativity over and over again, when you always saying, woe is me, when you're always the victim and having the victim mentality instead of a victor mentality, then you're going to be depressed. You're going to be sad. You're going to be in and down and out. You're never going to see your way out. You're going to speak death over your situation. And you got to understand that scripture says, there's life and death, the power of the tongue, there's life and death, right? So whatever you speak out into the atmosphere, you're putting faith behind it. So why don't you speak life over your situation? Deliverance is here. Deliverance is in the word. And he's given you the power to tread over serpents. He says, if two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. He's given us the power. One can put 1,000, two, 10,000 to flight. We have the power. That's why you got to surround yourself with like-minded people, people that are seeking him where he may be found, people that have allowed God to be the head of their life, people that are living trying to live a righteous life, people that are trying to live right, people that acknowledge when they're wrong, they have self-accountability, people that are striving to be better today than they were yesterday. But if you're surrounding yourself with people in the world, you're going to find yourself depressed. You're going to find yourself broke, busted, and disgusted. You're going to find yourself upset. You're going to find yourself anxious. You're going to find yourself confused. You're going to find yourself depressed. You're going to find yourself frustrated. You're going to find yourself upset. You're going to find yourself being abused. You're going to find yourself being manipulated. You're going to find yourself being coerced. You're going to find yourself being neglected. You're going to find yourself in isolation. You're going to find yourself in constant turmoil, conflict, and chaos. You're going to find yourself not being respected and rejected. You're going to find yourself in unhealthy circumstances, situations, trauma, hurt, displaced anger. So you gotta be mindful of your surroundings. You gotta understand that everybody is not assigned to you. Some people are. Ecclesiastes 3 talks about there's a season for everything. There's a time and place for everything. Some people are in your life for a season, some for a reason, and others for a lifetime. The only way you can determine where those individuals fall in your life is through the Holy Spirit, allowing Jesus to be your Savior, the Holy Spirit to be your personal guide. Otherwise, you're going to mess it up every time, because it's everything that looks good ain't God. And I've said that before many a times on the podcast. Everything that looks good ain't God. But you won't know that unless you allow him to lead, guide, and direct you. Because where he guides, he also provides. And where there's his direction, there's also his protection. Your deliverance is here. And let me just talk to you. I'm getting ready to close out. But I just want to talk to you because, you know, a lot of times we think we can save people. We can't save them. Only God can save you and me and them. We can't even save ourselves. We need God. And so if you know someone that stands in the need of deliverance, you can't deliver them, but you can give them to God. Pray for them. Give them to God. Let God work with them. Sometimes we're hindering God working with people because we're so busy trying to keep them from suffering or to keep them from going through, that maybe God is allowing them to go through some things to get their attention, to bring them closer to him, and we're in the way. Look at the prodigal son. He allowed that to happen. He allowed him to, he got all his riches and left. As long as he had money, he had friends, or so-called friends, people that was leeching off of him. They didn't like him. They didn't care about his well-being. They liked what he did for them. But then when he got down and out, when he didn't have anything, he was basically homeless. He was broke, busted, and disgusted. He didn't have nothing. He allowed his money and the fact that people were attacked, he was spiritually blind. He never thought for one minute that he would lose his popularity. But I'm here to tell you that popularity is not the same thing as being on purpose. See, people will love you today and hate you tomorrow. They commend you today and then they degrade you tomorrow, because people are fickle. You can't put your trust in man. If you're waiting for man to applause and to always be on your side, that's not going to happen. And this is what he found out. When he needed them the most, everybody was gone. They didn't use his money up. They ain't got no need for him now. When he was out of money, they started acting funny. And so you got to understand that it might not be money. It could be something else, whatever it is. Sometimes people attach, you're attaching yourself to people through trauma bonds, through soul ties, through personal experiences. Seek God about relationships, situationships, whatever it is, friendships, work relationships, careers, past, and all you do. It tells you in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. That means you got to pray about everything. You pray nonstop. Everything that you think you want to do, you need to be praying, because there are some demonic spirits out here. And their job is John 10:10, to kill, to steal, and destroy. And so you got these different types of spirits. They're attaching themselves to believers, and they're doing it. They're getting a foothold. The enemy just needs a foothold, and then he's going to wreak havoc. He sat back and laughed. That's what happened with the prodigal son. He had to end up going back home. He didn't have none. He's eating out of garbage cans. What did he have? Nothing. He was broke. He was left without anything, because what sin to do is it'll take you further than you're willing to go, make you pay out more than you're willing to pay, and make you stay longer than you're willing to stay. You'll be broke, busted, and disgusted. Have nothing. And sometimes it can cost you your freedom or even your life. But when he got back home, he realized it took for him to go through that wilderness experience where he lost it all, for him to realize where his strength came from. He thought that his strength and his power was in all that money he had. Money is temporary. Belongings are temporary. Houses and cars are temporary. Anything that you can acquire in this life is temporary, but the one thing that remains eternal is the love of God and his open arms to give you eternal life. His love for you will never change. In fact, scripture tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews 13:8 says he's the same today, yesterday, today, and forevermore. He changes not. He don't change. But the problem is we have changed. We have allowed the things that we have acquired to become our idols. We worship things. We put people in the place where God should be. We put things in the place where God should be. And so we can't go worship because we got to watch the game, and we can't go worship because, you know, we going to pick up some more hours so we can do this and this. And I'm not saying that you can't work. I'm not saying that, you know, that you shouldn't be trying to live a comfortable life. What I'm saying is we find everything to do and don't mind doing it, can get dressed and go do it, but we don't give God our time or our tithe. We don't have time for God until we get down and out. Then we want to call on him. But God is not a puppet. He's not on our payroll. He don't work for us. We are supposed to be working for him. And I think we have our mindset is wrong. We think that when we call on him, he's supposed to do it right then, like this. Like you hitting the remote and cutting the TV on. He's supposed to answer just like that. Now, he can do it, but he's not obligated to do it. If he doesn't do anything else, he's done enough. The very fact that he woke us up this morning is enough. And you know, we are not faithful. We're not faithful to him. But even when we're not faithful to him and we need for him to help us, that scripture says he heard my cry, because you wrote it down earlier. He still delivers us. That don't mean that we're free from consequences, but he will deliver us. Even with the consequences, it's still Romans 8:20. It works out for our good. So we have to be mindful that we think of things of a good report, that we lean not to our own understanding, but acknowledge him in all our way. That's how you renew your mind, with the word of God. Let me tell you something. It's so many spirits that can hold you down. You got the spirit of fear. You know, when Timothy tells us he has not given us a spirit of fear. Spirit of fear, I have you held captive. The spirit of infirmity. So when you're going through your body ailments, you know, you need healing in certain areas, your sickness. Yeah. But God says that we are healed by his stripes. We have to declare and decree over our life. You can be held in bondage by all different types of unclean spirits, familiar spirits, spirits that are deceptive, like the Jezebel spirit, a spirit that can manipulate and control. That's the demonic spirit. That is a stronghold. You can be, you got the spirit of heaviness, which is depression. And, you know, he tells you in Burton, he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. With burden here. He said, if you got a heavy burden, he said, hey, you come unto me, I'm going to give you rest, because his yoke is light. You have the spirit of lack. Scripture tells us you have not because you ask not, right? And then it has to be aligned with his word. And it can't be our what we're asking him can't be, you know, because it's nothing wrong with asking God for what you need. And it's nothing wrong with asking him for some of your wants. But our heart posture has to be right. We have to be asking from a heart of humbleness. Not from greed, not to gloat. And a lot of people get things and they want to brag and boast about it. And it's nothing wrong about showing what God does for you. I'm not saying that. But a lot of times people are in secret competition with you. They want to brag and boast. They only call to tell you when they got something. They want everybody to know what's going on. And if they do something for somebody, they got to tell that too. Scripture tells you that you don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. They said if you do something for somebody, it shouldn't be done for show. Because it says you already got your praise. You know, so we just have to make sure that we're not enslaving our own selves by our actions and the way we think. You know, the spirit of haughtiness, haughty spirit, you know, pride and arrogance. Got a lot of people that they get on, they forget where they came from. Or maybe they didn't move on up in the world and they doing really good and they look down on people that are not on their level. They only want to associate with certain people. You know, they used to be able to speak to the people that were the janitors and the custodians, but now that maybe they are a CEO, they don't speak to them. They're beneath them, but none of us are beneath anybody. We all the same. We all standing in the need of grace and mercy every day. Everything that we have is because of God's grace. Nothing that we have obtained doesn't matter. You know, sometimes people allow titles, positions to define them. Your title and position don't matter. Don't matter how many degrees you got, how many acronyms, letters you got behind your name, what your title is, doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, we're nothing without him. And that could be a spirit of bondage too, to think too high of yourself. Nothing wrong with being confident. But when you begin to be arrogant and it affects the way you treat people, then that God is not for a haughty spirit. It talks about that in Proverbs. It says, pride come before, let me get it right. Don't let me, I don't want to misquote it. So let me get it right for you. Pride comes before the fall. Proverbs 16 and 8. Pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. So we have to be mindful. That is a spirit of bondage. We have to make sure that we're not entertaining a spirit of divination, you know, dealing with these tarot card readers and psychics and fortune telling and all of that. Mm-mm. Sorcerers, you don't need them. The only person that is omniscient, which means all knowing, is the Lord. He's omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. And he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time. No one else can do or be who he is. No man, no demonic presence, not even the enemy. Even he can't be everywhere at the same time. He has to send, you know, when you talk about legions, that's an army of demonic spirits or devils, right? He has to send out his little minions. He can't be everywhere at the same time. The only person that can be everywhere at the same time is the good Lord. He's the only one that has all power, because the whole world is in his hand. It belongs to him. Scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. I mean, you read it in Genesis, right? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, he created everything. And so since he created, he's the creator of everything and all things, he knows what's best for you. You don't have to call that 1-800 number and they tell you something that you probably told them. You don't have to have that. That is a spirit of bondage, because you can't move forward allowing people to tell you something that is not aligned with God's will for your life. Remember Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." He knows what he thinks toward you. He says, plans to get you to an expected end. So he's already laid out your destiny. It was predestined before you were born. Jeremiah 1 and 5 says, he knew you before you were formed in your mama's womb. He already knew what you were going to do. He already know what purpose he has you here for. You're not a mistake. Do we make mistakes? Yes, but he doesn't. Thank God that he doesn't look at what we do as far as the mistakes and bad choices we make. He looks at our potential. He looks at why he created us. But people are different. They look at your past. God says he's trying to get you to inspect it in. He's not looking at your past. He's looking at your future. Remember when you give him your life, when you deny yourself, die to your flesh, when you give him your life, you become a new creature in Christ. And what it says, when you change your directions, when you change your directions. And so, you know, people might bring up your past, but that's them. If they want to stay stuck over there, you know, he'll deliver you from people's opinions too, right? What they think of you, because it don't really matter. What he thinks of you is what he says, for he know the thoughts that he thinks toward you. He didn't say for he know the thoughts that people think toward you, because it don't matter what they think. Because Romans 8 and 31 says, if he be for you, he's more than one against you. So we have to deliver yourself from other people's opinions. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. And that's fine. But it doesn't matter what they think of you. It's what you think of yourself and what God thinks of you. And he told you in his word that he wants you to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. These are the things that he said he wants to give you peace. He'll keep you in peace. He says, you know, look at the scriptures. Psalms 23, he is your shepherd and you shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He said he'll prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. Now, does that sound like someone, does God sound like, does the word of God sound like he's not for you? He's saying it even when people talking about you, I got you. But you got to deliver yourself from people's opinion, and you got to deliver yourself from negative thinking. We talked about casting down the mindset, and you got to deliver yourself from being around people that's pulling you down. A lot of people that are listening to the sound of my voice, the reason why you're struggling and you seem like you can't move forward because you got people attached to you that's weighing you down. Got to let them people go. You got to evaluate their fruit. And if their fruit don't line up with, if it ain't godly, you got to let them go. It says that bad company corrupts good character. Guess what happens? If you put a spoiled or a rotten apple in a bag with good apples, at some point, all the apples are going to be rotten. It contaminates it. And you have to deliver yourself from contamination. Bible even tells you to separate yourself from those that are not following in his direction or following his way. You got to separate yourself. If you get yourself connected to it, and they'll be pulling you down. You ever been in a situation that was negative and you felt heavy? And then once you removed yourself from that situation, you felt peace. You felt light, like a burden just lifted off your chest. Well, that's what you got to do with some people. If you're always tired, you're always stressed out, always broke, always discouraged, always sad, always confused, always distraught, always depressed. Come on now. If you're always having all these negative emotions around people at your job, people in your home, your family members, friends, whoever it is, and they bring out the worst in you, it's time to move on. That's not God. God says he's not the author of confusion. He don't deal with chaos, confusion, disruption. He says in Amos, how can two walk together unless they agree? Now, remember, his word is not going to return it to him void. It tells us that in Isaiah. And he can't lie. Scripture tells us that too. So why would he tell us to walk in harmony with others? Why would he tell us? You know, that's the very reason why in Matthew 4:5-44, he tells us to pray for those that mistreat us, to do us wrong, to misuse, to use us. You know why he tells us? So we can free ourselves from that too. Free ourselves from disappointment. Pray for them. It's hard to pray for somebody that mistreated you, isn't it? Or that used you or mistreated you or abused you. It's hard, but he it's not for them. He's saying, I want you to pray for them so you can set yourself free from the past hurt, from the past disappointment. I'm not telling you to forget that it happened. I'm telling you, forgive them and move forward for yourself. The forgiveness is not saying that you are okay with what they did. The forgiveness is saying, you know what, Lord, they did me wrong. I didn't like it, but Lord, I'm gonna forgive them and put it in your hands so I can move forward, so I can heal, so I can be whole in you, so I can move forward in peace. So I can get my joy back. Because as long as you hold on to hurt, as long as you hold on to grudges, every time you see them, you get angry. Oh, they didn't held you captive in their mind. They're living rent-free in your mind, and you have to let them go. You have to let them go. You have to let go of that hurt. Let God handle it. So, you know, but when you finally do that, when you finally deliver your spiritual bondage, when you finally give it to God, whatever that situation, because we was talking about all the different ones, all the different types of spiritual bondage, the halter spirit of divination, the spirit of infirmities, which just saying that you have different ailments or illnesses, the spirit of fear. You're dealing with a lion spirit. You got the Jezebel spirit. You know, Jezebel spirit was the influence. That spirit is a manipulating spirit. You got it's so many different spirits, demonic spirits that are operating today. And people, some people don't even know that those spirits are operating in their life, because remember, they're spiritually blind. So you might see it and you're trying to tell them, you know, this and it, they can't receive it until they get to a place, until there's an opportunity for the light of the world, for the light of the word to come into their darkness and to illuminate their understanding and open their eyes to take the blinders off, because otherwise they can't see it. You got the Jezebel spirit. You got the Leviathan spirit, the spirit of lying and deception and twisting things around. You got all these different spirits, and they attaching themselves to people every day. And they're just waiting for one of us to allow them a foothold in our life. So that's why we have to stand our ground. We have to be mindful of that. We can't, you got unclean spirits and familiar spirits. I mean, we have to be mindful that we do not allow the temptation to be dragged into that negative space to cause us to operate in that negative spirit. So that's why we have to cast down every imagination, everything that is not of God. We have to renew our mind. It tells you we can't be transformed. We have to, you know, don't conform to the world, Romans 12. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? With the word of God. We have to do that. We have to speak life over ourselves. We have to think on things of a good report. We have to think on things that are pure and things that are true. We have to keep our mind stayed on Jesus, and he'll keep us in perfect peace. These are the things we have to do. We have to lean not to our own understanding, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And then when we do that, he, you know, even when we've messed up, maybe we were one person, but we've totally given our life to Christ, and I'm getting ready to close out. We totally given our life to Christ. Then we become a new creation or a new creature in Christ. And you don't have to worry about the past. Every last one of us got one. Nobody living don't have a past. There's no one living that hasn't did something that they are ashamed of. All of us have done some things that we are ashamed of. But it made us better, because what you did is you learned from that. When you give your life to Christ, you learn from that. You grow from that place. You know what it looks like to be in that situation, so we can offer compassion and empathy to others when they are in that space. We don't have to talk about them and put them down. We can pray for them, because we know that used to be us. And so what God does is he delivers us so that we can be a blessing to someone else, but not so much of a blessing that we get ourselves stuck in a rut. Because we can't save anyone. Only God can save. So all we can do is be messengers of the word. We can give the word. We have to be an example. We can't be living like the world and expect for them to see the light or to see the living word through our actions. We have to set an example. And it doesn't mean that we're putting on a show for them. We are living sacrifices. We have to sacrifice ourselves, you know. And when I say sacrifice, we have to be living witnesses. We have to sacrifice or get rid of that old self, and we have to walk in the newness of Christ. And when we do that, Philippians 3:13-14 says, this is when we become this new creature. It says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, look, it's over with. I'm not even looking at the past. My past is a learned lesson. But I got to keep pressing into my future. I'm not even concerned about that. I'm not going to keep revisiting it, replaying it in my head. I'm not going to keep rehearsing all the past hurts. No. I'm going to have peace, joy, love, all those positive things in my life. I'm going to speak life. And then it tells us in Isaiah 43 and 19, says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now he said, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do a new thing in your life. He says that your latter days will be greater than your former days. He's going to do a new thing. Deliverance is here if you accept it. Will you accept it? 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, and I'm getting ready to close out. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You are a new creature in Christ. Allow God to come into your life so that he can deliver you where you are. Whatever it is that you're facing, he can deliver you. He can deliver you from any situation, whether you need healing for your body, you need healing mentally. He can deliver you. God is a deliverer. Your deliverance is here. Will you let him come into your life to help you in the situations that are holding you hostage? Your deliverance is here. I don't know what else to tell you, but I do know that your deliverance is here. Everybody that God has promised to deliver has been delivered. Look at his track record. Your deliverance is here. Don't allow the wiles of the enemy to hold you bound, to shackle you down. God is willing to break every chain that hinders you from being all that you can be in him. I pray that you have been blessed by this word. I pray that tonight, whatever is holding you hostage, whatever concerns that you have, that you cast it to him, give it to him, and allow him to lead, guide, and direct you through whatever valley experience that you are experiencing. Allow God to deliver you in the only way that he can. It might not be how you envisioned it, but God is able. He's able to do anything but fail. Will you give it to him tonight? Your deliverance is here. You don't have to keep crying every night trying to figure it out, because God has already worked it out. Your deliverance is here. Will you trust him? Will you trust him? Your deliverance is here. If you give it to God tonight, just ask him to help you. Cry out, oh Lord, I need you now. And I believe that God will come and he will deliver you from your situation. He will place your feet on solid ground. He will bless you in your goings and your coming. Will you give him an opportunity to be the head of your life? It's okay if you backslid, if you haven't been as faithful to him as you should be. We all stand in the need of prayer. We all fall short sometimes, but God has his arms wide open, waiting for you to come back home. Will you allow him to come into your life? Your deliverance is here.
I dare you to try them. And so, until we speak again, my prayer is that whatever it is that you're facing, whatever that is ailing you, that is bothering you, that you would give it to him so that he can keep your mind in perfect peace, so that he can give you joy, so that he can increase your faith, so that he can help you to walk through these uncertain times, so that you will be blessed and not stressed. My prayer is that all that you are asking God for and everything that you need, whatever you stand in need of, I pray that God blesses you, that he keeps you and protects you. Until we speak again, please be encouraged and allow God to deliver you. He's ready and he's able. God bless and amen.
Holy Spirit, I need you to abide in me.